From the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'O you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. We don't know much about these supposed wise men. We know that the Christmas carol, "We Three Kings," is probably pretty inaccurate. We know that they weren't kings. By some accounts, they weren't necessarily wise in the sense of like a sage. What they were, though, is they were important and they were seekers. They were people who would look to the skies to be able to interpret signs and be able to interpret things and to give advice and counsel to kings by looking at it. By some accounts, Daniel in the Old Testament, several hundred years earlier, after the lion's den and all of that, became kind of chief of the Magi. And so these magi, these wise men traveled, they saw in the skies, and they heard of this coming of this king. And they were likely, they were so important that they probably carried with them large groups of people. And so they first went to King Herod, because why not? If they're seeing this baby king, they're hearing of this king coming to earth and being born, then why wouldn't the king at the time know of this? But Herod didn't know. Herod didn't know, and he sought to kill this baby because he didn't want it to threaten his power. And so when these wise men found that out and they went and they sought out this baby, they sought out this king. And what's incredible is they had this journey, this incredible journey. We think it was over 1,000 miles that they had traveled. And then they kept going and kept going. And when they get the king, and the king doesn't know what they're talking about. And so they keep searching and they keep searching, and then they find him. And so we don't know a lot about these men other than they were seeking. And they wouldn't be stopped. And some of you here in this group tonight are seeking. Some of you may not have stepped inside, foot inside a church in a long time. Some of you have, you've maybe even forgotten what you were seeking for. You're looking for something. You've been searching for something. Can I just tell you that you're not here by accident? You're not here by accident. That God is a God who pursues his people even to the point of becoming flesh and submitting himself to his creation to rescue us. And so today that you're here, this afternoon that you're here, you could look at that as some kind of accident or some kind of circumstance or coincidence of other things going on. Or you can be like the Magi and seek. And the Bible promises that if you seek, you will find. And it may not look like what you thought it would look like. I'm sure that when the Magi came into the stable or the cave or wherever it was that Jesus was born, with the animals around him and laying in this manger, that it wasn't maybe what they'd had in their mind when they were seeking a king. But because they were seeking honestly, they knew it when they saw it. And in the midst of these animals, they see this baby king, and they drop to their knees and they worship him. These powerful men drop to their knees and worship this baby. If that's you here tonight, if you identify with those men, those seekers, I would encourage you to look, to seek, and to find. And you may find what the Magi found. It didn't look like you thought it would look. But in this baby, we have Emmanuel, God with us. Like the Magi, we don't know a whole lot about the shepherds. We know that they were out working their job late at night. And what we do know about shepherds during that time is that they were lowly, they were poor. Some reports are that they couldn't testify in legal proceedings, that they were outcasts. What we know for sure is that they were not the high class of society. While the Magi were important people that even the king would listen to and would go and search for this baby, the shepherds, nobody would pay much attention to what they would have to say. And so why God would choose them to be the first ones to hear of this birth is something that's hard to understand. But I think we can relate a little bit. The shepherds, in their insignificance and in their unimportance, I mean, we have a similar world today. There's important people and there's unimportant people. The important people have money and power and a voice and a platform, and then there's the rest of us. And yet God doesn't see it that way. The world may attribute those things to people, but God doesn't. God carefully designs each one of us and sets us up for what He has called us to. And He did the same things with these shepherds. See, the Bible says that God shows no partiality. It means he doesn't judge based on what the world sees. He doesn't look at the outside like the world looks at the outside. He doesn't care how much money a person has or how educated they are or where they come from or what their background is or anything. God doesn't care about any of those things. And the reason He doesn't care about any of those things is because He's the one that designed it that way. He's the one that put you in that position. He's the one that put me where He put me. He's not impressed with where any one of us is born because He's the one who made us born there. So God, in His design, creates us and shapes us for something. And these shepherds were probably wondering, maybe in their life, they probably were just aspiring to whatever had been done before them, their parents had done. And so they probably felt pretty insignificant and felt like their lives had very little meaning. And maybe you're there. Maybe you're looking at your life right now and you're wondering, I don't know how I got here. And my life didn't quite turn out the way that I thought it would. And maybe my marriage isn't as strong as I'd hoped it was. Maybe my job is disappointing. Maybe I just haven't achieved what I had hoped to achieve. If that's you, then I want to tell you something. That God knows exactly where you are. And God knows exactly what He wants with you. And if you're searching for meaning and searching for significance, can I just tell you that you're not going to find it in a new job? You're not going to find it in a new relationship. You're not going to find it in more money. You're not going to find it in any of those things. Where you will find it is in the Creator. Because the only way that we can know what our meaning is and what our purpose is to go back to the Creator. Only the one who made us can tell us why we're here. Only the one who cared for us enough and loved us enough to come to earth. That's the only place to find it. And here's the incredible thing. God gives you meaning. He gives you purpose. He gives you significance. Because see, here the thing is that God has this mission in the world. The mission in the world is to proclaim the good news that Jesus has come. And that He meets people where they are, wherever they are, and He loves them and He rescues them. And we are called to share that with the world. Not to be judgmental and not to tell everybody else that they're wrong. It's not about that. It's about saying, hey, look, God made you and He loves you and He has a plan for you. And He has that for each one of us in this room, no matter where you come from. No matter what has led you to this point right here. Just like it's not an accident that you're here, It's no accident what God has designed or planned for you. See, Christmas is about a God so loving that he would choose lowly shepherds to be the first to hear this good news. And they proclaimed it and they couldn't keep it in. And all of a sudden, these lowly shepherds who seemed so insignificant to the rest of the world became centerpieces in one of the most miraculous nights and the most miraculous night in human history. They were chosen to deliver this good news. The good news that a baby has been born. But it's not just any baby. It's Emmanuel. God with us. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I think one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story is this interaction with Mary. Because again, we've talked about before that sometimes hindsight's 20/20, and we read it and we think because we understand what's going to happen, we read it through that lens. And we don't think about what Mary must have been feeling in that moment. You know, you're dealing with an unmarried, frightened teenage girl. And an angel comes to her, and I always find this so interesting. I don't want to speak out of turn here, but this unmarried teenage girl is visited by an angel of the Lord, okay, told that, hey, you're going to be pregnant, and she's like, "I don't know how that's possible," and the angel says, "Don't worry about it, because it's going to be from the Holy Spirit. You're going to give birth to this baby. You're going to name this baby Jesus, and this baby is going to rule on the king. He's going to be king forever and ever." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting there listening to you, I might well up some anxiety, a little bit of worry, maybe a little fear. And I love that the angel's like, "Hey, do not be afraid." Like Mary's supposed to sit there and hear all this stuff and be like, "Oh, well, you say not to be afraid. I guess I shouldn't be afraid then." But she is afraid. She's terrified. She has to be. You're telling her that she's going to be pregnant. Now she's unmarried and pregnant. What's going to happen to her? What's Joseph going to do? And what's really interesting about this situation with Mary is all of it is out of her control. Not a single one of these things that's going to happen to her is by her choice. God has ordained that this is what's going to happen. And so she didn't choose any of these things. She didn't choose to get pregnant, and yes, yet there she is, pregnant. She can't choose. It's not her choice what's going to happen as far as a marriage goes. That's Joseph's call. And she doesn't have any control over that. She doesn't even get to name the baby. She has no control over the situation whatsoever. And I don't know about you, but nothing gives me more fear. Nothing makes me more afraid than situations where I have no control. Where I have nothing to say about it. That I can't work harder or try harder or figure things out. That nothing I do is going to impact anything. Nothing brings more anxiety and more fear. I mean, think about it. That's, if you think about your daily life, the fears and the anxieties you have in your life right now are likely things that are completely out of your control. Not very many of us worry about things that we can control, that are in our strength and in our wisdom and in our abilities. We don't usually worry about that because we know we can do those things. It's the things outside of our control. And so Mary is in this place where nothing that's happened to her is by her choice. And nothing in her future now at this point is under her control. How is she not supposed to be afraid? How does she get to a place where she says, okay, I'm in? It's because she believed God was with her. See, Christmas is about a God so powerful that he can give courage to even a frightened, unmarried, pregnant teenage girl who's been told that her son is going to be king. And many of you right now are in this situation where you're worrying about things in your life. You have a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of things that are out of your control. Maybe it's work, maybe it's home, maybe it's where you live. God with us, Emmanuel, means that you don't have to be afraid anymore. Emmanuel, God with us, means that no matter what path you're walking right now, whatever journey you're on, whatever anxiety or whatever weight is crushing down on you, whatever's going on around you, that God is with you. And he will walk with you. And he will shoulder that weight for you. See, this fear, this anxiety, this worry about what's going on, it doesn't magically go away because we're still sinful, we're still broken, and even those of us who've been following Jesus for years and years and years still battle this on a daily basis. But we don't have to. It can end. Because God came to earth and came in the flesh to rescue us, to call us back to himself, to say, you are mine. I chose you. I made you. I know what I'm doing with you. You are mine. And I'm not going to let anything happen to you outside of my design. And I will walk with you. That is the promise of Christmas. So whether you're seeking here tonight, or whether you're battling these kinds of fears, or you're battling these feelings of insignificance and wondering about purpose and meaning, I just want to tell you that all of that comes down to the most unlikely package when God became flesh and dwelt among us. When he became Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We do rejoice. And so I hope that your time here has been wonderful. I hope that Christmas is a wonderful time for you. And if you are seeking here tonight, and if this is your first time here, I just want to say that I'm glad that you're here. And I just want to encourage you, if God did something in your heart tonight, if there's some kind of pull that you realize that maybe there's something here that you want to find out, I just want to say that this is a family that will welcome you in that seeking. Now, we don't have all the answers figured out, but we're a family that's trying to figure this out, figure out what it means to follow Jesus and who God is and what his love and what that means in our lives. And so if you would like to join us and be with us, we would love to have you be a part of that journey with us. Praise God. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Merry Christmas and have a great night.